Hey guys, before we get into today's show, I wanted to talk to you about Harry's.com, our sponsor here for today's show. Of course, you've heard me talk about Harry's before, Harry's.com/lineup, and it's the best gift this holiday season, all right? We already know that I'm a Harry's guy. I love the amazing quality of their blades, their cartridges, their shave gel, but it's a practical gift. Your brother, your brother-in-law, your dad, your uncle, your cousin, whoever it is, their Secret Santa. I'm going through Secret Santa signups right now with my family, my extended family. So you better believe that if I get the right guy, I'm going to be buying some Harry's razors. So head over to harrys.com, and this holiday, you're going to get a custom limited edition shaving set. They make perfect gifts. Okay, you get the cartridges, you get the gel, you get the chrome handle, and you can get engraved too. That's pretty nice. That's pretty classy if you want to step it up a little bit. Gift sets start at $10. It's flexible. You can get the fancy ones for a little bit more expensive, but of course, you gotta enter your promo code, you gotta go to harrys.com/lineup. Okay, to support the show, and you do that, and you're going to get a discount of $5 off your order. So this holiday, give Harry's, give Handsome, and get your holiday shopping done early. Take advantage of that free shipping, too. Free shipping, that's not bad. It's over, man. That's it. You go to harrys.com/lineup. You save the money. You buy the gift. Free shipping. Boom. Done. Wrap it up. It's all gift wrapped. Looks great. Done. Easy. Let's get into the show. Hey, what is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel and DraftKings. Guys, NBA DFS, bread and butter. This is what we do. We do NBA DFS better than anybody out there. 5-star ratings on iTunes. Please get in there. Review the podcast if you haven't done it already. And before we go too much further, got to talk about my friends over at Fantasy5x5.com, some of the best NBA DFS analytics tools that the industry has to offer. Of course, they are official analytics partner for the show, so you're going to hear me reference boosts, split tools, everything that they talk about over there throughout the show. If you need to check it out, Fantasy5x5.com, but only on Patreon.com/LineupLogic can you get access to our Slack chat community, our premium cheat sheets, and Fantasy5x5.com. So it's one of the best deals in the DFS industry right now for analytics tools plus takes. You got to get in there from Patreon.com/LineupLogic. Of course, you guys know what we're going to do today. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk Vegas. We'll talk about all the different games on this Wednesday slate. A nice one after some high-scoring slates the last couple nights. I don't see this being any different. I mean, there's some really good games. There's some juicy ones. Now, we're waiting on a few totals to come out because we're learning about some news here. You know, there's been some questionable tags and stuff like that. And Vegas hasn't released all their lines, but they were getting more and more. And actually, a couple lines just opened up. So, yeah, okay. So, this morning, we had a couple lines that were down. But now we're open on every single game. So, let's go ahead and jump in Vegas and figure out what is going on with this slate tonight. Right, everything starts on the East Coast in Orlando. 213 total as the Clippers go west to east here. Aaron Gordon ruled out in this one. And of course, when we're looking at that, we're going to see an injury boost. We also have Aaron Gordon. We also have Evan Fournier, we know, still out with an ankle. And Terrence Ross still out for that game as well. So you're going to see a massive boost in usage for Nikola Vucevic. Vuce just continues to be filthy dominant with those guys out. So Fournier and Gordon both out. Look towards Vuce, look towards Simmons to pick up a lot of that usage on that first unit now. And remember, Clippers defense, not quite as good as we thought it was. So definitely have some interest in maybe some Magic players. They're coming off a little bit of rest. They had a couple games off after that series with Atlanta. Memphis at Washington. Washington coming off the back-to-back after losing to Brooklyn. This team, man. It's not – this is not good. I mean, this whole John Wall missing experiment is not going well for them. If you ever revealed what the heart and soul of this team is and the weaknesses that they need to address, but playing Memphis is a team that is in complete disarray as well. So Wizards are favored by 7 at home, even though they're coming off the back-to-back, a 199 total. This is going to be kind of an ugly game. Like I said, Memphis very much in disarray. I think you could look at a guy like Tyreke Evans, but God, talk about inconsistency. He is a GPP only play these days because he has been, you know, between literally his last two games, 52 points and 14. Like, you can't go there. So from an injury perspective, we're just waiting on the John Wall thing. I mean, that's it. John Wall, that's the Wizards. You know, their rotation, Scott Brooks just keeps changing it up. It's very hard to project. The one thing I will say is his bench minutes now are going to Jason Smith, with the Markieff not getting a lot of run last night. I'm not really sure if that was by design because of the back-to-back coming up, but, Jason Smith should be in play off the bench in the Jan Mahimi role because, Mahimi has a knee, but it's not like you were playing that much, Wizards bench big men. Anyway, so this game is, you know, not my favorite. OKC at the Pacers, 213.5 here. Pacers favored by 1. Wow. The Pacers are favored by 1? That's just straight disrespectful. But makes a lot of sense the way that Oklahoma City's offense has been stagnant. They have not been able to shoot. Just an absolutely brutal situation out there. Darren Collison, questionable with a knee. That's going to give a big boost to Victor Oladipo. Miles Turner also picks up some usage in that split as well. But, you, of course, Kojo would be the guy that probably would become chalk du jour if we had no Darren Collison. So keep an eye on that, because I would love to play some Corey Joseph as the point guard in this game. So definitely an interesting spot. No injuries to be concerned about on the Oklahoma City side. Roberson is still one that we are looking at, but he doesn't really affect fantasy performance as much as I think he would affect Oladipo's performance. But then again, Paul George still there to play good perimeter defense. That defense is good in general. Portland at Miami, 203 total here. Miami favored by 2.5. Portland's just, that's tough, man. They're just not that good right now. I don't really know what to say. They don't really have an identity. Yusuf Nurkic still questionable with an ankle. So you see this massive usage bump for Dame, and CJ just has not been able to pick it up in his absence. So it's basically Dame and then a little bit of peripheral scoring from other guys. So they kind of can't wait for Nurk to get back here. Certainly need him back as quickly as possible. Moving on, and Whiteside remains out for the Heat. But, guys, the Heat's offense just really not that exciting or interesting or consistent. Very hard to project what we can see from them. So I'm not that interested in that game. It has a low total for a reason. Denver at Boston. Denver finishing up a 6-game road trip here in Boston, coming off the back-to-back where they worked Detroit last night. Really did. It was very interesting to see that. 206 total here, and Celtics favored by 6. Line moving in favor of the Nuggets. Not really sure why that is, unless people are bullish on the return of Nikola Jokic, which is a possibility. He is questionable now. He was not ruled out this morning. He is questionable. Now, also probably because of the news about Al Horford being ruled out. He is being ruled out for rest. There was some concern that maybe Kyrie would miss with the knee injury. Not happening. He's in. He's good to go. We'll see Kyrie in this game. He is upgraded, I think, to, like, not just probable, but likely. Probable. He's tagged probable. So he should probably play in this situation. Now, on the Nuggets side of the ball, you're going to continue to see some, you know, complicated rotations in this situation, but we'll talk a little bit about how the front court should shake out in this situation, in this spot. There's definitely some possibilities that we can take advantage of, in in the Denver rotation. I think that their prices haven't really adjusted. I think that for whatever reason, a lot of their prices went down, even though they all played very well last night. Utah at Chicago, 198 total here. Utah favored by 5 on the road. And the Utah experiment is going to be hard to project right now because we're going to see the return of Rodney Hood tonight. Now, Rodney Hood should... I don't know if there's a minutes limit in place, but we're going to see him throw off the backcourt rotation. So the Alec Burks games are over. Thank you, Alec Burks, for your service. We will have to see what they're going to do with Donovan Mitchell and Ricky Rubio and all that kind of stuff. It's very unclear to me how this rotation will shake out. Will we have a better sense after today? Yeah, we'll know. You know, I think we'll begin to understand exactly what it is that Quinn Snyder is going to do. And, you know, Quinn Snyder's rotations aren't exactly easy to project, but in a game against Chicago, we should see them be able to do what they want to do. Of course, Rudy Gobert now back as well, Derek Favors. So you're going to see a much more spread out team, you know, 28 to 30 minutes here at most. And Joe Johnson planning to come back too soon. So, I, you know, keeping an eye on Utah, cautiously optimistic, waiting for prices to kind of drop back down into place once we get these rotations squared away. I think that's how I'm approaching the Utah roster. Chicago, guys are priced up because they're playing well right now. I'll be interested to see how they play in this game, but I do think Utah is going to give them trouble. And we're probably going to see Lauri Markkanen back. He was out, of course, and created that beautiful bounty of fantasy value. You know, he's questionable, back spasms. So obviously Mirotić is in an interesting spot. This is not the same spot, though, for Mirotić. You know, Boston is good, but this is Utah. They play some of the best team defense. They have some of the longest players in the front court. You know, this is a nightmare matchup for Mirotić. He's not going against a rookie in Jason Tatum. He's probably would get Tabo Sefolosha and Rudy Gobert. Like, nope. Nope, Mirotić is fine. He's good, but he's not that good. He's, you know, like he blows up every once in a while, but you have to probably take into consideration, you know, the possibility that you're going to get extra usage and minutes for those guys at a reduced price, which would be something that I would consider. Raptors at Suns. This is going to be a fun one. Oh, I skipped one, by the way. Oh, whoops. Milwaukee at New Orleans. That's the one that I skipped. 219 total here in this one. New Orleans favored by 2. And we are going to see, I think, everybody. I think, you know, the Davis is questionable. He's a game-time decision. Dante Cunningham, questionable. Dante Cunningham doesn't really mess anything up. It's Anthony Davis that we really have to be concerned with. You know, I think you would probably see more... I guess you would see just a lot more of that core lineup if of Holiday, Moore, Davis, Cousins, and Rondo. That's really what it is. You're going to see that core lineup. We have to figure out, too, if Jameer Nelson is going to play. So we'll keep an eye on the injury reports for New Orleans because you're going to see a high – I think you're just going to see very concentrated minutes for the starters. And you know, that's fine. Milwaukee coming in off of a lot of rest though. So we'll talk a little bit about, Giannis and some of the other possible plays in that lineup. Toronto at Phoenix, 221 total here. Wow. This total has jumped by 5 points. That's wonderful. And why? Because the reality is the, Toronto offense is better than people thought. And Toronto, you know, they struggled in that game against the Clippers, but you look at the numbers, Kyle Lowry shot 0 for 8 from 3. That's just an outlier performance, you know? He is a 40% career three-point shooter. It's not likely for him for that to continue. That changes that game, I think, in a significant way. And DeRozan shot poorly as well. So not really something that I'm looking too hard into, given the consistency of how this team has performed and how Phoenix has been a pretty bad defense. Not to mention, you add to that Phoenix... coming off the back-to-back last night, they played a back-to-back. Now, one of the things that we're going to have to keep our eye on is the big man rotations with Tyson Chandler on the back-to-backs. We could get, you know, Tyson Chandler will rest, Greg Monroe will start. Yeah, I mean, And that's not a bad thing. I mean, the Toronto front court is not exactly that good. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas does not scare me that much against Greg Monroe. They've seen each other before, Milwaukee-Toronto. It's a divisional matchup that they had previously. So it's not something that I'm that worried about. But I do like this game. I think people are going to attack the backcourt of Toronto, and you should, because of reasonable prices. Production is there, and the minutes are there, and the offense flows through two primary guys in Lowry and DeRozan. So definitely have some interest in that. Charlotte at Houston. This is going to be a fun one. 220 total here, but Houston favored by 12, and that's probably about right for the betting market. Now, will it finish that they win by 12? Not necessarily, but it's a pretty sharp line insofar as you kind of wonder whether or not Charlotte can even keep up from an offensive perspective. Nicholas Batum was, by the way, doubtful as of yesterday. Now, he has been upgraded to probable, which means he probably went through shoot-around this morning, said, feels okay, coach. Coach said, okay, we'll put you on as probable. We'll plan to have you unless something changes. Kind of kills the whole value of a guy like Jeremy Lamb, but of course Jeremy Lamb was a disaster in that Oklahoma City game, but we all rostered him because, you know, I mean, he was cheap and we know he can score. So we can't really go there in this situation. We'll see what happens with that. Other than that, guys, that's about it. I don't think I've missed any of the key injuries tonight or today. You know, nothing that we have to be too concerned about. Beyond keeping an eye on the injury reports for the Nuggets, we want to keep an eye on whether or not people are going to rest in Phoenix, both of those teams on the back-to-back. We also want to keep a close eye on New Orleans with Anthony Davis and Jameer Nelson. So those are two names that you you need to be aware of. But that's it. So let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. So we have a classic stud slate, one solid 10K plus guy at every single position, looking sharp across the board here. You know, you have the option to try to get two in because there's going to be value on this slate. You got one at every single position. You got a kind of a range of prices between 12K and 11, 10K, all that kind of stuff. So lots nice to spread out different pricing options here. I think you're going to see a little bit more diverse ownership, you know, and certainly possible to fit two of these guys into your lineup today. Now, I don't know if that's the optimal construction for cash games, but it certainly seems like a decent way to go in your tournament lineup, stuff like that. So let's start at the point guard. Obviously, it's Russ. We know, you know, the OKC offensive saga is a problem, but Russ has not been a problem from a fantasy perspective, really. Versus Indiana, not really a concern for me. They're nothing special against the point guard, 18th in DVP, especially Darren Collison possibly out. You can't really be that worried about this matchup. It doesn't scare me at all. They do run an increased pace. You love that. They do also play mediocre defense. Team defense is not phenomenal for them. So not necessarily a matchup that I'm scared of. The price is okay at 11-2 on both sites. I think, you know, it's, are they going to go out and try to, I mean, this is the thing. You always like Russ in a situation where you feel like he's in a must win. But literally, the way that they've been playing is it must win pretty much, you know, every single night. And he's averaged 50 fantasy points per game on the season with a 33% usage rate and 1.4 fantasy points per minute. That's the highest of any point guard on the slate. He needs 56 points to hit value here. That makes a lot of sense to me. That's not a number that's out of reach for him in this situation in a pace-up matchup. He had 66-point triple-double last year against this team. That's pretty sexy. I don't mind this spot at all. The floor is there. The price is tolerable. We know that the minutes are going to be there. He's rested. The issue that I have is that there is a lot of depth at the point guard position tonight. In the mid-range, you have some phenomenal options in the mid-range for point guard. You have 8K options. You have 6K options. You have a lot of different ideas and ways that you can go. And so it's hard to think that, you know, maybe you don't take that stud money and go to a position that doesn't have as many interesting options. You know, that's kind of where I'm at, that you don't feel as confident in, and you can feel very confident in your point guard selections tonight. So that's one of the strategic pieces that I'm considering. Russ, though, I mean, is there a better cash game play in daily fantasy sports? Often there is not. I mean, the man, especially at this price, you ask him for over 55, that's fine. That's fine. That's not a big deal for him, especially in this game with the pace-up situation with a high total. And let's see, I believe this is the third highest total on the night. 213 is the 213 and a half. Oh, it's actually the fourth. It's the fourth highest total, and that must be a nod to Oklahoma City's defense and the struggles on their offensive end as well. So it's the fourth highest total. So this is kind of right on the perimeter of games that I'm interested in. Well, no, that's not true. The Denver-Boston game will be the lowest total kind of that I'm interested in rostering tonight. Everything else I'm keeping above board. Like, I don't need to have when I'm considering, by the way, I don't find myself in a need situation for Utah, Chicago, Portland, Miami, or Memphis, Washington. Like, I'm crossing off some of these slow and low paced games. There could be value there, but there's just as much interest for me in making into an eight game slate into a five game slate. You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking. And I don't mind Russ at all here in this situation. Now, highest total on the night, Harden versus Chicago, highest implied team total is the Rockets, of course, makes total sense. They have been phenomenal on offense, second ranked in offensive efficiency, and Jimmy Harden is the reason why. He is 12-1 on FanDuel, 11-6 on DK. Certainly love that price on DK. That's nice little discount. Above 12K on FanDuel kind of makes me nervous. Why? Because I don't really trust Charlotte's offense. You know, I mean, MKG blew up for the first time ever against Oklahoma City. Why? Well, probably because they put Paul George on Jeremy Lamb and he got to work against Alex Abrines. It's not going to happen that way tonight, guys. Like, think of the five that's going to be out there for the Rockets. They start Chris Paul, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, maybe Ryan Anderson. But interestingly enough, they've actually been giving Eric Gordon a lot more run. And then Capella. And then kind of use Anderson. Like, it is a murderer's row of three-point shooters. And we know that Charlotte struggles with wings. They allow the three-point shot. They're 10th in defensive efficiency, which is nice. But if they had one problem with their game, it's that they allow the three-pointer. Okay? Harden in this situation should be totally fine. In his last five, he's averaged over 57 fantasy points. He's got 35 minutes, 1.5 fantasy points per minute, a 34% usage rate. So he's just above Russ in a lot of these metrics, which is really, really nice. Okay? I really like this game, I really like this spot for James Harden, and I have zero issues with Harden with the way he's playing right now with Chris Paul. I have an issue with saying that Charlotte can keep up here. You don't have dominant scorers on this team, okay? You have Kemba, and if you can take away Kemba Walker with Chris Paul, this offense is going to, I mean, you're chopping off the head right there. You're going to say, okay, Nick Batum, Marvin Williams and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, go to work. I don't know about that. And Dwight plays well in revenge games. We'll talk about Dwight in this situation. But listen, that's the one concern that I have. I do worry about blowout. I do worry about a 30-minute limit for him too, you know. 61 points is a tall order, but of course he's gone over that in his last two games, so what do I know? You're paying peak price. That's the one thing I will say. You're paying peak Harden price, and you could get just as much production out of Harden as you could out of Russ and save $900. You know what I mean? So the one guy, though, that I'm really having a hard time not salivating over is Giannis in New Orleans, man. Whoo, boy. Who? On DK, he's only 11-3? Come on now. Come on now. This is ridiculous. Did you know the matchup? Do you understand what's going on here? This is a 24th ranked overall defense and defensive efficiency. They have not been able to guard the three at all. They have not been able to guard the two. They can guard whoever Jrue Holiday guards, but they don't protect the paint that well. Who is going to guard Giannis? AD? Probably, but you got AD with an adductor strain. He's not going to push himself. They don't want him to blow that adductor strain trying to keep up with this man running up and down the floor. Listen, here's the best part. You get a positive pace differential for him. He is coming off of, you know, we know they have bad wing play. We know they turn the ball over. We know that they allow a shit ton of scoring. The best part, though, is that New Orleans should be able to run it back on them. Milwaukee cannot defend centers. They haven't been able to do it all year long. So having two of the most elite centers in the league makes this a very, very interesting game to me. 29% usage for Giannis, of course, 1.49 fantasy points per minute. New Orleans, 27th in DVP to the small forward. I guess it's, and that's how I classify him. I can't really think, I mean, right, like, you know, he plays in the, he kind of plays in the front court, but of course he handles the ball kind of like a point forward, but he doesn't really have the point guard type role that James Harden or Ben Simmons has, right? Or LeBron. So you kind of classify him as a, you know, I kind of classify him as a small forward. I don't know. Of course, this could be a really good spot for both him and Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe as well, who are all very, very reasonably priced because this is not a good defense, and he has played some tough defenses. He went Utah and Dallas, and they're getting better. Dallas is improving. I mean, they beat the Spurs last night. Detroit, Boston, and you go back to like five or six games ago, he had Sacramento back-to-back. Remember, he had that two-for-all in Sacramento. He had over 60 in both. That's the closest in defensive efficiency that he's been to this 24-ranked New Orleans. This is a smash spot, man. This is the best part. You ready for this? And, of course, now I'm talking it up, and he's going to go for 45. He's coming off of 4 days of rest. That's the best part of this. That's the absolute complete best. Four. They haven't played since Saturday. So he had Sunday, Monday off. Tuesday was probably a travel day. That's it. So you're going up the fourth day here. He gets super, I mean, that's phenomenal. So that's a great split for a young, high usage athletic guy who wants to run the floor. You love him coming off the rest. He's explosive off rest. I love this spot. Anthony Davis versus Milwaukee on the opposite side. 11-1, 10-2. Ooh, the discount is so nice. It's so nice. It's Anthony Davis, guys. Man can score 70 fantasy points, and you're getting him for one of his lowest prices of the year. Now, honestly, I think Giannis is going to guard him. I really do. From a length perspective, it makes kind of sense, which means Boogie's going to get John Henson, which we can talk about in a little bit. But you have to like this spot for AD at this price. He's rested. And even in limited usage coming off that rest against the 76ers in a high total game, he had 59 fantasy points. Now, listen, he played 8 extra minutes because of overtime, but you still know he can do it. He's over a fantasy point per minute. The one thing I don't love is the pace drop, and his consistency is not really something that I'm interested in doing in cash games. So I think he's a GPP play. I think he's interesting as a game stack candidate if you wanted to do a little Milwaukee-New Orleans game stack. Now, Boogie against Milwaukee. I asked this question just a moment ago, but I will repeat it for those who are not listening. Can John Henson guard DeMarcus Cousins? Can John Henson guard DeMarcus Cousins? Well, let's just go ahead and let's remind ourselves of how large a man John Henson is. Okay, very good. John Henson, you are 7 feet tall. That's wonderful. Oh, that's very helpful when you're guarding other centers. Oh, you're 229 pounds. That's really great. But you are as thin as a rail, okay? And you have gotten dominated. He's actually bigger than I thought. You are 205 pounds. I thought he was like, you know, like high school skinny. But he's actually not that. But he's been smashed. Listen, I mean, he can't guard anybody. He's not big enough. He just doesn't have the physicality. Drummond has had great games here. Baines had great games here. Gobert had a good game. Nurk had 45 against him. Okay, high usage centers, K Love, he had 62. If you are physical with this guy, he can't handle you. He cannot handle you. And look at that. Look at that list. What do those guys have in common? Drummond, Baines, Nurkic, Love. And Love, man, let's not pretend like Kevin Love can't get physical. Let's not pretend like Kevin Love doesn't have doesn't have like a good, very physical post game when he knows he has a matchup advantage. I love it when they go, when Kevin Love just starts going, give me the fucking ball. I'm going straight at the rim against this dude. Okay. I'm going because he can't stop me. Like, I love that when him and LeBron just decide that that's what's going to happen. I love watching that version of Kevin Love. Maybe more interesting than stretch five Kevin Love. Anyway, Boogie in this spot, love it. No doubt. I mean, if AD doesn't play, you have to play DeMarcus Cousins. Okay, so there, that's my analysis. Okay, let's move on to the Grout. 8.5 below here. Kyle Lowry versus the Suns, obviously, this is good chalk. Don't be fooled by the last game. Like I said, 0 from 8 from behind the arc, 1.0 fantasy points per minute, 1.07 fantasy points per minute. This is the third best offense in the league against a terrible, terrible defense coming off of back-to-back. He just had 44 against this team at home, okay? Over the last five, he's averaged 35 fantasy points, got a very clear 25-point floor, so he's not going to completely break you. Very tight range of outcomes in plus matchups. He's been excellent. And that's the thing that you love about him and DeRozan is they have been very easy to project, okay? And they do have a very clear floor. So you don't get burned by them, you know, too badly. Now, of course, if he goes for 25 or 30, you're going to be upset. But against the Suns coming off back-to-back, I really can't find any good reason to say that I don't love Kyle Lowry in this spot. Now, right behind him is Kyrie. Now, without Al Horford on the floor, you have to think that a lot of that scoring upside is going to go to Kyrie. Now, we also know that Al Horford is the leader on this team in assists. So he took some rest. That's great. The thigh contusion. Come on now. You got a bruise on your leg. If this was the playoffs, you wouldn't even been listed on the injury report. So he's not hurt. Don't worry about it. 1.17 fantasy points per minute, 29% usage rate. Matchup with Denver is phenomenal. Also coming off the back-to-back, they're 26 in DVP, allowing plenty of assists, allowing plenty of scoring, 21st in defensive efficiency overall. And we've seen some high-quality point guards tear them up. I mean, Chris Dunn went for 35 against this team. CP3 went for 51. Come on now. CP3 went for 51. I like Kyrie at home, off rest, decent price, no increased usage because of Horford. You know, the issue that I have is that he isn't doing the peripherals. And this actually is a bugaboo. Like, Kyle Lowry has been rebounding and getting assists. Like, he's almost a double-double candidate every night for points and assists. So, Kyrie is kind of the opposite. Like, he in the last five, the man has averaged 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Oh, God, I hate that. I hate that. And if you guys listen to this show, you know how much I love targeting peripherals in order to get to upside. You're talking about 10 points in peripherals. So if I need him to get to 40 points, he's got to score 30. Very possible against bad Denver defense, who runs a little extra pace, and coming off the back-to-back, traveled last night from Detroit to Boston. So you have to think they're going to be a little bit sluggish. Boston, you know, like I said, coming off the rest at home here is very, very nice. And Kyrie, with the extra usage, you do 30 points is not crazy, but you are relying on pure scoring to create value. Now, of course, can Kyrie score? Yes. Can Kyrie dish the ball when he wants to? Can Kyrie steal? Not really. Can Kyrie rebound? No, sometimes. So you're relying on scoring and assists. And maybe you get a couple extra steals. But, of course, the beauty of this is that he's going to get Jamal Murray. Put him in the washing machine. Let's go. If he doesn't get Jamal Murray, he's going to get Emmanuel Mudiay. I'm not worried about that. Come on. That doesn't worry me. Mask off. Bledsoe versus New Orleans, 6,900. Love this spot. He's underpriced. 34 fantasy points in the last five. You're getting a discount because his season-long numbers still say that he's not averaging 35 points yet. He's still at 30 points per game. But that's because earlier in the season when he wasn't as comfortable on this Bucks team, he wasn't doing as much scoring. Nope, changing. Like I said, this is a great spot against New Orleans, one of the highest totals on the night. In general, they're allowing plenty of above-average raw scoring to the point guard and the peripherals. Chris Paul just lit them up. And I love the pace, poor defense, ability to get to the rim here. Done. Do it. Bledsoe is great. He's a great option here, no doubt about it. Now, listen, he has the thing about Bledsoe is that if you're like, man, I got to have Kyrie, or man, I got to have Kyle Lowry, but $1,100, I can switch this guy for that guy, you know, that kind of question. Bledsoe has the possibility. You could very easily walk away with Bledsoe at 36 fantasy points and Kyrie at 36 fantasy points tonight, no doubt about it. In which case, Bledsoe has nailed value, okay, and Kyrie just missed it. And so it's not, the difference is not that big, right? But the price differential is huge. And if that $1,100 helps you change your lineup, I have no problem going down from one of those AK guys down to Bledsoe. It doesn't bother me at all. I think that, you know, I think that that's a nice move. And this is what I was talking about with, you have guys in positions to, you know, be cash game plays that you trust in this situation. Now, I don't mind, and I'm gonna be careful with this one. I'm gonna be very careful with this one. I don't mind Austin Rivers if we knew that he was gonna get the run. The problem is with Teodosic back, Teodosic. Andre Roberson ruled out. Nice. Well, it'll help us talk a little bit more about this next position. Sorry, I was talking about my man Austin Rivers. Not my man. I'm not going to qualify that. I'm not a huge fan of him. But I also, by the way, don't mind Rondo, because it does look like Jameer Nelson questionable tag. We'll see if he plays. If he doesn't play, then Rondo, I mean, 5,800 again. The pricing just has not caught up with his performance. So it's another pricing inefficiency there, no doubt about it. So anyway, all right, let's talk about the shooting guard position. And of course, you know, I put Victor Oladipo here just instinctively, but he should have been in the stud section. Now that I've realized his price, he's 10K on FanDuel, 9.2 on DraftKings. But let's talk about him, especially now that we learned that Andre Roberson is out. Revenge game. Okay, and in Depot revenge games this year, playing his former teams, you ready for these numbers? 53 fantasy points, 47 fantasy points, 73 fantasy points. Man has averaged 52 fantasy points over his last five. I mean, that's the same number as Russ. And he's $1,100 cheaper. Man. Roberson is out. I got to consider him, no doubt about it. Paul George is probably going to guard him. Now, that bothers me, and he had 47 in this matchup last time. The 73 came against Orlando, right? Don't worry about that. But 47 came against the Oklahoma City early in the year. He's got a 27% usage rate, 1.2 fantasy points per minute. He's been phenomenal in the peripherals department, too. This is the anti-Kyrie. He's 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. That's 20 points a game from peripherals. He's everywhere. He is everywhere. I love it. So he is definitely someone that if you can fit in, I think you can, you try to fit him in, and you can fit him in tonight. I mean, no doubt about it. I think that'll be a relatively unique. Donovan Mitchell versus Chicago. I want to play Don Mitchell here. He's at a nice price, but the return of Rodney Hood really does make this tough. I like the matchup. Chicago, just a generally poor defensive team, 22nd in overall defensive efficiency. Mitchell has shown a floor here, 24 points. He's also got takeover mode. We know that. But Rodney Hood is back, and I have no idea what this rotation is going to look like, honestly. Now, thinking about Donovan Mitchell performances brings to mind a guy named Chris Middleton, because listen, Chris Middleton is going to have the ability to really excel in this matchup on the wing against a bad New Orleans defense. And what did we see from Mr. Donovan Mitchell in this game? We saw a phenomenal performance from Don Mitchell in that game last time out when he played New Orleans. Now, the numbers for Middleton have been excellent. I mean, honestly, like, I don't know how you don't love this spot for Chris Middleton. Listen to this. Listen to these numbers of late, okay? In the last five, 34 minutes, 41 minutes, 36 minutes, 38 minutes, 37 minutes. Never a usage rate below 17%. Never a point total below 19. fantasy points production-wise never dropped below 27. And he dropped below 27 in the Sacramento game that they where they blew him out. Okay? He had 44, 35, 35, 32. He's been very, very consistent in this last most recent run. Now, is that because teams decide that they want to shut down Giannis? I'm not really sure. But what you're seeing is about an average of 23 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. That's nice. That's a nice balanced line. And guess what? Comes at an ownership level that is extremely low. People just don't play Chris Middleton on larger slates because they just don't really get it. They don't really understand how valuable he is. He's just such a pedestrian player. Of course, they're going to play DeMar DeRozan against the Suns. And why wouldn't you play DeMar DeRozan against the Suns? I love this spot for DD. It's obvious. Phoenix on the back-to-back. Raptors allow the most points to the shooting guard. But the Suns allow the third most points to the shooting guard. So that's nice. You know, if I knew who was going to be playing, God, if Devin Booker was playing tonight, man. Devin Booker had a great game against them last time out. But, you know, the rotations there in Phoenix right now are very, 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 very complicated. You know, like, Tyler Ulis had a ton of minutes, but he got outperformed by Mike James in 20 minutes. You know, it's just like, Josh Jackson played 30 minutes but only had 15 fantasy points. Like, who is going to score? I don't know who's going to play. By the way, actually, okay, wait. Greg Monroe, he got the DNP coach's decision last night. So that means he's definitely going to play here. This is what they do with Monroe and Chandler. They find them interchangeable. Shit. Now we got to think about Derek. We got to think about him. Oh man, we gotta consider Greg Monroe. Anyway, all right, sorry, I was looking at the Phoenix rotations, but DeMar DeRozan is probably going to get rookie Josh Jackson in defense, or maybe some TJ Warren. However, he smashed them last time. He had 49 against this team and at home. He's had nearly 40 every game in the last five. Okay, the numbers are so, so consistent. You're asking him for 44 at his FanDuel price right now. That's not a tall order. 13 of his past 22 games this season, he has gone for 40 or more. That's pretty consistent. Above 50%, that's pretty consistent, okay? It may seem like not a lot, but that's pretty solid, especially when you consider the possibility or wide range of outcomes that a lot of guys had. DeMar DeRozan, not really a guy who has a lot of a wide range of outcomes, especially in plus matchups. Now, I would be a fool if I did not talk about Gary Harris coming off the price drop, man. Come on, man. This is lineup logic. I always talk about Gary Harris. Gary Harris and Keenan Allen, that's what we talk. Price dropped 5,800. The minutes came back last night. He got, I don't know, Malone reprimanded him in that Orlando game. I don't know what the problem with Malone is. Malone, you know, he likes to keep things close to the vest. He's a kind of a knucklehead, whatever. They're going to need him in this game. Okay, Will Barton left last night's game with an injured back. Oh, man, if Will Barton sits. You got to love it if Will Barton sits. But he is questionable right now. He's got a questionable tag. We will see how he feels going into this game. But if Will Barton sits, man, it is probably above 35 minutes for Gary Harris and Wilson Chandler, who I love the prices on both of those guys. At small forward, there's really only one guy that I like in the mid-range price, and everyone else is going to like him too. It's Paul George at 7,600. If you're going to not have the confidence to pay down for Paul George at 7,600, I think people are going to be like, oh, I don't know who else I can play. But Paul George, man, the production just has been so, so stagnant. You're asking him for nearly 40 fantasy points, but he has not popped over, he's not gone over 30 in his last three games, only 26 fantasy points about in those last three. I don't know if that's a role thing. I don't know if that's just he's not needed as much. I have no idea what's going on. The one thing I will say is it kind of seems like with the surging Steven Adams that maybe some of that offensive usage is going into the paint, and they're saying, let's get Steven Adams more involved because we have an asset here who can score and create a little bit more space on the perimeter. But if we don't have Steven Adams involved, then teams aren't going to just, stick to the exterior. I don't know. And you know, how do you trust Russ's distribution of the ball on a nightly basis? You can't, especially with Paul George. So it makes me a little bit more of a GPP play, but this is a guy priced below 8K who can score 60 fantasy points. So there's that. Revenge game, Indiana. There's that. I don't know. I mean, you have, at that price point at 7-6, you have guys like Chris Middleton, Paul George. You have some centers. I don't know. It's hard. That's a hard price point to get involved in tonight just because you have some other spots that you feel really comfortable with. But like, you know, you debate Paul George or Kyrie Irving. Paul George or you know, Paul George or Kyle Lowry. It's hard to say. I mean, it's just hard to say. So, I don't know. It's an interesting spot. At power forward, Serge Ibaka versus Phoenix. That one's obvious. Not bad. Man is finding his rhythm. He's playing well. He's still under 6K. He had 39 against this team last time out, and that was when we started to see his price surge. Everybody was catching on. They were going, oh, wait, Serge is playing well again. Oh, shit, we got to get in here. I mean, he was priced at like 4,800 in that game. I remember being like, hell yeah. You know, the concern that I have is actually blowout. I mean, I continue to say this, and Ibaka hasn't been getting more than 30 minutes because I think that they are very strict in their bigs rotation there. They do not play those guys more than 30 minutes. You're never going to see him or Valanciunas or Siakam. You're never going to see any of those guys go for over 30 minutes. It just doesn't happen. No matter how consistent or well they are playing, they just don't do it, and it's part of their system. So if there is a blowout here, because remember, Devin Booker played in that last game, and he played well. He had 49 fantasy points and then left in, like, you know, late in the fourth. Keep them in it. If he's not in there, I don't know how they keep up with this offense. This is a much more disciplined, organized team. So that's part of my concern with paying up for these assets in Toronto. And Ibaka would be one of the first guys to kind of get a little bit of extra rest. He likes to get rest for those bigs. Kenneth Faried is very interesting for me. Why? Because he's coming off a DNP. By the way, man, Twitter, chill the F out with roasting Kenneth Faried because of Mike Malone. Like, I looked up Kenneth Faried's status on Twitter last night and looked him up, this morning, because I saw, you know, that there was an issue. Like, give me a fucking break. If you can't handle tilt, you should not be playing DFS. And that's part of the game. Like, that's my thing about late scratches, too, is it's like, listen, that's part of the event-based nature of this. Like, this is not guaranteed. You are gambling. Like, it sucks. You can bitch about it and go, oh, fuck me. Are you kidding me? You can say that. But you also, at the end of the day, go, hey, this shit happens. You know? That's it. You got to be willing to take that on the chin, man. If you're not willing to put up your money and lose, then you are not willing to actually play this game. If you can't lose, then you shouldn't be playing this game, man. You know, that's my thing. Like, and Twitter, man, people were just savage about Kenneth Faried not playing. And Mike Malone didn't play him because of the back-to-back, guys. It was on purpose. He played 32 minutes against the Pelicans, and now he's coming off of back-to-back. They had the opportunity to rest him. They rested him going into Boston. He's going to play here. Darrell Arthur is not going to play again here in this situation. Faried comes back. I think he plays well. Darrell Arthur was worthless in that last game. He is worthless. I think Faried gets back to that 30-minute mark that he has been playing, unless Jokic is back. And then, you know, you have a totally different situation. But on the opposite side, no Horford makes Jason Tatum, no Morris makes Jason Tatum very interesting as well at 6K. I think he's got to do some rebounding here. He's going to need some front court minutes. Now, he's been a little bit tilting. He's been hard to project of late. He just, you know, he's cooled off. And I think that part of that is very, very easy to understand why it is that Jason Tatum has cooled off. The reason he cooled off is because earlier in the year, man, this kid was shooting like 50% from behind the arc. That's not going to continue. And so all of a sudden you miss two or more threes a game and you're not scoring 30 anymore. You're scoring, 24. And that's a big deal when it comes to DFS. But the price is solid. The minutes are there. The usage has been consistent. But yeah, I mean, he needs to score 15, 20 points for him to get value. Now, the rebounding has been great. He had 10 rebounds in that Chicago game. So we know he can rebound. If they ask him to do a little bit of extra rebounding, it's just a question of whether or not you feel like you need to pay $6K for a guy who might get you 32, right? He could easily get you 24. But there's a lot of guys in this. That's the thing about power forward. There's a lot of guys who can get you above 20. I'm always interested in finding the cheapest way that I can get above 25, right? The cheapest way that I can get above 25. Like, can I go down into the 4Ks to get 25 fantasy points? Can I find 30 fantasy points from a guy who's in the low 5K range? Something like that. Like, the Thaddeus Young 6.3K price tag is like peak Thaddeus Young. You want Thaddeus Young when he's 5'5". You want Thaddeus Young when he's 5'4", so that he can have that 30-point game. And that's kind of my thing about Jason Tatum here. Like, 6'1 is just a little bit too much for me to pay for a guy who might have 24 fantasy points, 26 fantasy points, when you could probably get 24, 25 fantasy points from a guy like, Frank Kaminsky? Maybe. We'll talk about that. Vooch versus the Clips. Let's talk about some centers here. Now, listen, Vooch, I was surprised about this, but the price is up, man. Aaron Gordon ruled out, 9,300. I love Nikola Vucevic tonight, my friends. And it's not just the game logs, okay? It's not just the game logs. It is what centers are doing against the Clippers. He's coming off of rest. He is at home. They're flying west to east. Okay? They're flying west to east. That's a bitch. East to west, not really that big of a deal. West to east, you're losing 4 hours in a day. He has had increased usage, increased rebounding. He has been the offense here. The Clips have been terrible at defending centers of late. It's been bad. They're as bad as Brooklyn and Phoenix. I'm not kidding. And if Vucevic was playing Brooklyn or Phoenix tonight, we would all be talking about him. But people just don't realize how bad the Clippers have been against centers. Jonas Valanciunas had a double-double against them in 25 minutes. He had 40 fantasy points against them in 25 minutes. Jonas Valanciunas. Come on now, let's go after Vooch. Vooch monster in a good spot here, no doubt about it. They're outscoring here, regularly yielding above average production by 10 points. There have been some massive performances yielded to centers against the Clippers of late. I'm all about that Vooch life, no doubt about it. Dwight Howard versus Houston? Yeah, revenge narrative, man. Revenge narrative. He does well in these revenge games. Last year against Houston, he was phenomenal when he played against them. That matchup boost for him is a real thing. I don't know why, but it is. Probably because he's kind of a child. These kinds of things matter to him. But yeah, the rematch boost for Dwight Howard, 45 fantasy points he had last time out against this team. So, gotta love it. Last guy that I want to talk about is Steven Adams. And I think Steven Adams will also be slept on tonight, but I really like him. I don't love the price. I'm a little bit angry that the price has gone up. He's now 6,900 on FanDuel. That kind of makes me irritated. Like, that's just a little bit too much to pay for Steven Adams. 6,400 is almost my ceiling price with Steven Adams, but that's what he is on DK. So I think you could do it on DK, no problem. But listen, Pacers are terrible against the center. We know that. And he has been good. He's been really good lately. He has been shooting more, which is really, really nice. Up until last game, he only had 6 attempts. He had 6 straight games where he had more than 10 attempts. And because of that, he had never dropped below 28 fantasy points. Yeah, he never dropped below 28 fantasy points in that stretch. Now, he only took 6 attempts in that Charlotte game. I don't know why, but if he takes more than 10 attempts in this situation, I think you're going to see a nice game from him. And you know, you should see the minutes. You should definitely see the minutes here. And Indiana, not a good team in the interior, and he had 41 against them last game. In 30 minutes, he had 17 and 11. So that's a nice game for him, and I think that this definitely could be a spot where you see Adams continue to produce. So I have no problem with Steven Adams in this situation. Now, moving on to the bargain basement, we're going below 5.5K here. Milos Teodosic is going to pop here soon, guys. Okay, the Clippers point guard, he's going to pop. They're going to move everybody around to try to get Teodosic in there. He's going to do well. He's good. I mean, he was only in there for 20 minutes last time out, less than 20 minutes in that last game, and he had 19 fantasy points in exactly 20 minutes, a 28% usage rate. The man is not afraid to shoot. And if he figures out how to distribute the ball, you're going to see some really good numbers. I mean, he's like a kind of like a Rubio type of a guy. He had 12 points and 7 assists or 12 points and 7 rebounds. And you're talking about him against the Magic. Like, honestly, if he gets 24 minutes tonight, he's going to have at least a fantasy point per minute, and he's only 4,500. So no problem with him whatsoever. He has definitely been very, very, very good overseas before this. Now, Manuel Mudiay, he's min price. I don't know why he's min price. If you know the key to Mike Malone's rotations, then you're going to win the money. But 15 minutes is not enough. So that's a hard one to project. I'm not really sure what to do with that. At point guard, like I said, there's a lot of consistent cash game, mediocre value, in there. At the shooting guard position, Malcolm Brogdon has been super, super effective lately. I mean, in his last three, he's at above 25 fantasy points. This is a bad defense in New Orleans, and he's only 4,700. I mean, you give me the option to roster him or Etuan Moore. Now, Etuan Moore gets more minutes. Sure, he gets more minutes, but Brogdon has actually been more consistent in his scoring, and especially in this recent stretch of late. So I don't mind kind of either of those guys. I think, though, for me, Brogdon just kind of offers a little bit more safety in his role and on a better team and against the worse defense. You know, there's a lot of like lengthy perimeter defenders in Milwaukee, like Middleton. Brogdon is a solid defender. Brogdon against Moore, that doesn't really scare me. So that's interesting to me. Definitely an interesting spot. The other one is Eric Gordon. Now, I don't know what's going on with their rotations in Houston, but the man has been getting 30 minutes. And I'm not sure if maybe he was injured for a little while once Chris Paul returned, or they were saying, we're going to rest you up. Now, we knew you were playing a bunch of minutes when Chris got back, and they put him down to like 24 minutes. And now the last three, he's been getting about 30 minutes, and he's been good. The problem with Eric Gordon is the same problem it always is. If he doesn't hit the three, you're going to rely on very, very limited peripheral production. I mean, even in that New Orleans game, the man had 27 points. He had 27 points. He only scored 29 fantasy points. That's not great. Now, Charlotte, we know they give it up to the shooters. We know he'll be shooting the three. That's the thing that they allow. So there is a nice argument for Eric Gordon in this situation, because now Jeremy Lamb is out of play. He was at that similar price point. All right, that is it at shooting guard. Let's go over to small forward, and it's pretty simple for me, man. Wilson Chandler, you know, possibly banged up Will Barton, but even with Will Barton out there, Wilson Chandler's price is just too low. Like, it's 4,100 for a guy who always gets 30 minutes. Like, this is, you know, he only played 27 last night, and they're in a back-to-back situation. But the reality is that 27 is enough for him to feel comfortable to Yuko back to him. And the nice thing is he's actually scoring. He's scoring. Like, he's a rebounds guy. You know, he'll do a couple assists and steals for you as well. But he's been scoring in his last three games after he came back from, you know, that little injury that he had. He's had 11 points and 18 points in back-to-back games. That's good. You want him to be scoring, and he can score. So no doubt about that. A couple other names to consider. Boyan, his price has dropped. David Nwaba continues to be the starting small forward in Chicago, but it's against Utah. Do you really like that? Not me, not personally. Mario Azonia, Super Mario, got 30 minutes the other night against Atlanta. You have, at the four, you have no Aaron Gordon, no Terrence Ross, no Evan Fournier. They have no one else to play the four besides Azonia. Now listen, even against the fucking Hawks, this man only had 7 points. He's not good, but he's cheap, and you get to say Super Mario, so that's kind of neat. That's kind of fun. Sam Decker also in an interesting spot. By the way, if Gallo is ruled out, which I believe he is because he has butt issues, guys, okay, that's not a joke, okay? He has a hurt butt, okay? And so let's not comment on butt hurt, but Sam Decker, you give me the opportunity to roster Sam Decker or Mario Hezonja against each other. Well, I mean, I know what my Wisconsin friends are going to say. It's Sam Decker all day, baby. And I like Sam Decker. I like him. I like his game. I've always liked his game. I probably prefer Sam Decker over Mario Azonia. But very similar situations for those two guys. At power forward, oh God, I don't want to do this, but guys, Daniel Theis. No Marcus Morris, no Al Horford. Theis is going to have to play the four. Oh, God. Oh, geez. It's really nerve-wracking. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. But, yes, he's there. His price is min price. He's there. He's an opportunity. The other guy is Jeremy Grant, nearly min price. And I like Jeremy Grant, but he just hasn't been producing. I don't really know what's up with that. Like, there was a time where he was like a bench darling for them. Like, he was coming off the bench, scoring 16 points a game. He was phenomenal. But he should get run. I mean, he's definitely more worthwhile than Alex Abrines. I just don't know why he's not getting the minutes anymore. He was getting like, you know, there was a time where he was getting like 30 minutes a game and they were winning. And now he's down to like 19, 10 or 19 minutes a game with very few attempts. So if he gets out there and he gets more run, I would love to see Jeremy Grant, pop. I just can't really necessarily trust it. At center, Aaron Baines. I mean, that's pretty simple. I mean, Aaron Baines is a chalk value center, and he's very easy to love in this situation at 3,600. The problem that I have is that, well, I don't really have a problem with it. If you want to go with Aaron Baines, do it. You know, I mean, he's just too cheap. I just love Vooch. I love Vooch. I will probably have a Baines lineup and a Vooch lineup, right? Makes sense. Baines lineup, Vooch lineup. I'll mix it up a little bit, play a little bit of both. That's kind of how I've been doing things lately. Greg Monroe will probably get the start here as long as we know that Tyson Chandler is like going to rest. If they do that tradesies thing, then you can fire up Greg Monroe as well. But, you know, you're not getting the massive discount you were last time on him. 5,700 is meh. But he did. That was when he played really well. That game against Toronto was one of his games. I mean, that was when the last time they had the back-to-back. I don't know why they have to play Toronto twice on a back-to-back. Like, come on, schedulers. He had 33 fantasy points over 25 minutes, 11 and 10. So he certainly crushed value there. But you remember, he was only 4,500 that game. But he's been good. I mean, you get this guy 27 minutes. He's been good for about 37 fantasy points. Anytime he gets over 20 minutes, he's been good for about 30. So I think you could say 30 for Greg Monroe tonight. And that's not bad if he fits your process. I mean, it's no Vooch 75. You know, Vooch is guaranteed locked to go for 75. Speaking of locking in Vooch, let's go over to FanDuel and let's build a lineup. I really want to play Nikola Vucevic. Now, there's a couple ways to, you don't have to play him, but I really do think that this is a spot that people will sleep on. Maybe not. The game log watchers are going to know this, and his price is way up, and so you kind of are like, that's annoying that his price is so expensive. But I do like this spot for Vooch, and I think that it is a good one. So I'm going to go with him to start. I'm also going to get Giannis in there. I love Giannis. It's very hard for me not to say that that my stud is Russ. But that means at point guard, I'm going to do that two point guard thing that I was talking about over here. I'm going to go Kyrie Irving and Kyle Lowry. Okay. Both 8K guys, which, you know, is perfectly acceptable. At shooting guard, I will go with Eric Gordon and Gary Harris, both well-priced there in the 5K. And Eric Gordon kind of fell to me as I was building this lineup. Wilson Chandler at small forward, too. I think the minutes are just too hard to ignore. And, you know, I don't love the defensive matchup, but 4,100 for a guy who's getting 31 minutes, who isn't just a total scrub, like, yeah, sign me up for that. And then at power forward, Frank Kaminsky is very interesting to me, and I forgot to mention him at power forward, but he's getting the backup center minutes now without Zeller in there. And the reality is that if he gets 20 minutes, he's been productive behind Dwight. And in Houston, he might get a little bit extra run here because, you know, this is a fast-paced team or a possible blowout. Like, this is a good situation for Frank the Tank. I think this is a nice spot for him, and he's only 3,800. So I have no problem with Frank here. I know he's going to get those backup center minutes. And Daniel Theis, I know he's going to get 20 minutes as well. Now, that's a little bit tilting to know that you're going to roster Daniel Theis over Aaron Baines. So let's go ahead and say that I go to Baines in this situation. Let's say, you know, I wisely kind of say, okay, wait a second, Theis or Baines, Theis or Baines. So I go to Baines and I pull out Vooch. Makes me a little bit, it's an emotionally complex decision. Okay. I'm not thrilled about it. And let's then say I want to upgrade power forward just a touch. Maybe you go with someone like Ken Faried. Oh, God, Ken Faried is very interesting. That price point is very, very interesting. Hard to trust, but very appealing. Let's say if I go Frank. Let's say I go Frank and Faried, right? For argument's sake. Ibaka's right there, too. That's not a bad price for Ibaka, but, you know, 30 minutes is pretty much the ceiling there. Okay, Frank and Faried, and then I want to upgrade one of my shooting guard positions here. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, so let's go Oladipo, and then I have 4,800 in my other shooting guard, and I can go with Malcolm Brogdon. So Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Oladipo, Brogdon, Wilson Chandler, Giannis, Frank, Faried, Aaron Baines. That's not bad at all. And, of course, you can guys, I mean, I could flip-flop off of Oladipo and I could go up to Russ very easily, which is interesting to me as well. I could go down off of Depot to DeRozan and then upgrade Brogdon to Gary Harris. Oh, wow, wait, hold on. That's pretty sexual. Kyrie, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Gary Harris, Wilson Chandler, Giannis, Frank, Faried, and Aaron Baines. That's interesting too. So a lot of ways to go tonight. Use the value, use the different, options at studs. Try to jam them in lineups, maybe do a couple more balanced lineups. Definitely a lot of different ways to go. But hey, that is it for me. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow for the week 15 NFL Playoffs.